For fresh savings on family favorites, shop Vons and Albertsons. This week at Vons and Albertsons, get medium Hass avocados for 97 cents each with digital coupon. Plus 4.75 to 10.75 ounce Lay's Doritos or Smartfood chips are buy two, get three free with membership or applicable. Limit one offer per household. Also this week, get 12 to 33.5-ounce Signature Select frozen pizzas for $2.97 each with digital coupon. Limit six total. Visit VonsorAlbertsons.com or head in-store for more deals.
Swenson Children's Foundation started to encourage hope and support so that children can have faith in their futures. As it says in Psalms 127:3, children are a blessing and a gift from our Lord. We see God's hand in every outreach opportunity we have had over these last 10 years to provide a blessing to children and their families in need, and will continue to serve our communities from coast to coast. If you would like to learn more about our foundation, please visit our website, Swenson Children's Foundation.
Are you looking for a local, top-tier accounting and consulting firm? Look no further than Swenson Advisors. Since 1998, Swenson Advisors has been delivering personalized, customer-focused services with the expertise of a national firm. Our clients, from middle-market public and private companies to high-net-worth individuals, trust us for our responsive, ethical, and innovative approach. Whether you're in technology, real estate, manufacturing, or the nonprofit sector, Swenson Advisors has you covered. Specializing in lease accounting, audit and assurance, tax services, and consulting, Swenson Advisors delivers tailored solutions for your financial success. We're not just another accounting firm. We're your strategic ally, dedicated to innovative solutions and impeccable service. Ranked among the top 25 accounting firms by the San Diego Business Journal and recognized for our integrity and responsiveness. Join the countless clients who trust Swenson Advisors for their accounting needs. Visit us at SwensonAdvisors.com today or call us at 619-237-3400. Swenson Advisors, expertise you can trust, solutions you can count on.
Urgent announcement, America. It's time to rise up and reclaim our values. Welcome to Biblical Citizenship Alive, brought to you by Save America Now PAC. This is your platform for truth and action. Join Steve and our guests as we confront the critical issues facing our nation today. We stand together for a pro-American, pro-family future rooted in our foundational truths. From defending our liberties to preserving our cultural heritage, we're here to ignite insightful discussions and passionate advocacy. Don't miss a moment of this crucial dialogue as we work to reclaim our cultural integrity and shape a brighter tomorrow. Tune in and be a part of the movement. It's your journey to informed citizenship and action. And now, let's dive in and make a difference together. Here's your host, Steve Austin.
Good afternoon, everybody. This is an exciting show today because this is the first show that we're taping with a new president, Kelly.
Ooh, so excited.
You know, I'm sitting here with, as you know, I read a lot, and I have the headlines of the Wall Street Journal, the Financial Times, and our local Union Tribune. The Wall Street Journal's headlines in giant print, Defiant Trump Regains Power, New President is Sworn In to Cap Remarkable Comeback. And boy, if that isn't the truth.
Right.
The local paper, which tends to be pretty left-leaning, huge picture, and the heading is "The Future is Ours." In the inaugural address, Trump lays out sweeping agenda for the next 4 years. And then finally, the Financial Times, which is published in London and is more of an international newspaper, has a picture of him getting sworn in, and Melania and some of the other Trump family. And it says the golden age of America begins now.
Wow.
So we are truly at a turning point in history.
Yeah.
We're at a point when, you know, a lot of us were concerned about whether that would ever really happen or if we were doomed. And I mean doomed to another 4 years.
I got to interject real quick, yep. Steve. I think that a lot of young parents like myself, not that I'm young, but my kids are young, is that we were so frustrated during the last 4 years of just the fact that they were
taking over our rights as parents. And so we feel so vindicated. I will say, I know there are a lot of parents like me who just feel like we finally have restored logic to our educational system. Hopefully, I mean, we're going to have a long battle, but at least it's starting from the top. It's going to trickle down. And I know that a lot of us, you know, as far as inflation and kind of financially, and then also our borders and crime, just so many things that we feel, okay, let's go. We're going to, let's start over. Let's swipe everything clean and try to repair what happened the last 4 years.
Well, that's true. I mean, at Monday and watching the inauguration in the Capitol Rotunda, which was better than being outside in the sub-zero weather or whatever it was.
Yeah.
But, you know, to me, the great revenge had to be watching Trump deliver his address and seeing Biden, Kamala, Obama, the Clintons, and having them sit there and listen to about an hour of Donald Trump, the new president, enumerating their failures.
Yeah.
And not just, you know, deliberately engineered failures. And they didn't look very happy. They shouldn't be. But I said to my wife, I said, you know, it could be, Gail, that this is the first time that Joe Biden was awake and actually had to listen to somebody objectively enumerating issue by issue by issue by issue in a very clear manner in front of him, such that it wasn't candy coated, but it was the truth. I wrote an article that's going to go into the San Diego Christian News Magazine this month. After that presentation, called "Finally ... The Adults Are Back in Charge," and it took most of the points he made. I had about 12 of them, and said, "Look, we have been living in a world of insanity, and we've been living in a world of evil actions and a lot of very stupid things, and now the adults are back in charge. They have 33, I think, cabinet members they're approving, plus another, you know, team of assistants that is going to take over, and praise God, because this country, your children, my children, our grandchildren, would have a very bleak future, because
Absolutely.
These people were deliberate. This wasn't just, you know, kind of faltering around. This was a very deliberate attempt to destroy the country.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. I don't think Trump was necessarily even pointing out their failures. I think in their mind, they were seeing it as their success, unfortunately. And I think they succeeded in, you know, tearing down our country and making sure that everybody is divided. And I think mission accomplished, actually, in their minds, which is scary. And so that's why it's a good thing we have a new mission abroad.
Well, that Fidel Castro did that to Cuba. Mao Zedong did it to China. The husband-wife team, the Perones, did it to Argentina. You know, you got Putin, you got Stalin, you got Lenin. You know, all these people were hell-bent on authoritarian, totalitarian, you know, and millions and millions and millions of people died under their idea of a utopia. And these people were following right along with all of this because, in part, we've talked about this, that Marxism is so steeply inculcated into our universities that are training our young people that it takes a tremendous effort to overcome what they've been brainwashed with and bring back in, you know, some common sense. Yeah, in the article, I mentioned that common sense is really God's standards when you think about it. It is nothing different than scriptural standards that, you know, are really very, you know. We got an exciting guest today, Kelly, that from New York, and he's a regular. He's a we have had this guest on before, and he does such a great job that and he has a radio background. He actually had his own talk show, Kelly, when he was, I think, 16 years old in Putnam, Connecticut. And so he loves coming on the air and talking, but very bright guy. And after the break here, we're going to welcome our new guest on.
Are you looking for a local top-tier accounting and consulting firm? Look no further than Swenson Advisors. Since 1998, Swenson Advisors has been delivering personalized, customer-focused services with the expertise of a national firm. Our clients, from middle-market public and private companies to high-net-worth individuals, trust us for our responsive, ethical, and innovative approach. Whether you're in technology, real estate, manufacturing, or the nonprofit sector, Swenson Advisors has you covered. Specializing in lease accounting, audit and assurance, tax services, and consulting, Swenson Advisors delivers tailored solutions for your financial success. We're not just another accounting firm. We're your strategic ally, dedicated to innovative solutions and impeccable service. Ranked among the top 25 accounting firms by the San Diego Business Journal and recognized for our integrity and responsiveness. Join the countless clients who trust Swenson Advisors for their accounting needs. Visit us at swensonadvisors.com today or call us at 619-237-3400. Swenson Advisors, expertise you can trust, solutions you can count on.
So, as I mentioned, Kelly, we have a special guest who's actually not so much a guest, but starting to become a monthly regular on our programs here. Welcome, Pastor Bill Shisco.
Hey, Steve, good to be back with you and with your cohort.
Yes.
Yeah,
and,
how are you doing?
As I mentioned on the introductory comments, Bill, this is our first show since our new president has gotten inaugurated. We've been reflecting on our reactions to Monday's events. And before we get started with you, Pastor Bill Shisco is the senior pastor at the Maven Church in Long Island, New York, and has been a good friend for, I don't know, 50 years or something like that now. And we went to school together. We debated together. We actually had a radio show on campus. He's been a wonderful friend and counselor, and has done a great job in the ministry there in New York, and pretty well recognized around the country, quite frankly, Kelly. And but Bill, I'm just I read off the headlines of the Wall Street Journal, the local paper, the Financial Times, and commented a little bit about watching him give the inauguration speech and the facial expressions of Joe and Kamala and the Clintons in particular. But tell me your, I'm just curious, kind of what's your impromptu reaction to Monday?
Yeah, well, nothing impromptu. I've been chewing on this since Monday, and I'm honored. First, it's great to be back with you and Kelly as well. A number of thoughts, Steve, and I don't want to blather on. One thing is I was struck. This is prior to the inauguration. I was struck with the importance of our praying that God restrain leaders from doing things that literally could destroy a country. The previous occupant of the White House, when I read those executive orders that he had, I was stunned with the fact that the man mentally is not there. And literally, my wife and I were praying more than once every day that God would stop him from doing things that would be disaster, even more disaster for us. So that's number one. Number two, I was thrilled. I was brought to tears by Franklin Graham's opening prayer. The fact that he not only what he prayed that was just so obviously directed by the Spirit of God according to the Word of God. But when he concluded, without embarrassment, in the fact that Jesus Christ is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. I just burst into tears, Stephen Kelly, because that's true. And I think Stephen Kelly, in all of our discussions about political issues and citizenship, we forget that Jesus is Lord. He is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. One of my favorite statements about the early church is that the Christians knew that because Jesus was Lord, Caesar wasn't. And that was wonderful. And then I think I could go on. I try to make a distinction between things where politically I'm very thankful. And I mean, I was just rejoicing. I'm not a fan of executive orders, I must admit, but that's the way things are done today. And you got to play the game. But when those executive orders reflected biblical orders specifically, I mean, the fact that you've got to have an executive order saying that there's two genders, period. I mean, that says a lot. 25 years from now, incidentally, people will look at that and they'll look askance and say, you have to have an executive order to say that there's just two genders, male and female. But I was thrilled with that declaration, and I was also thrilled, Stephen Kelly, and with this I'll stop, I could go on and on. I was also thrilled with the fact that the Health and Human Services website, you talk about a contradiction in terms, the Health and Human Services website, from the time President Trump was inaugurated, took down their information about abortions, a.k.a. infanticide, and so-called reproductive freedom. I was thrilled with that, and I don't want to. I'll stop. And here I want to be very, very careful, because you try not to read into deaths and political events where we shouldn't. But Stephen Kelly, I was struck that Monday night when I read that the director of Planned Parenthood died. I think it was just about the same time President Trump.
Ann Richards' daughter.
And that woman presided over and promoted the killing of hundreds of thousands of children. And I just couldn't get over the fact, I know the Republican Party didn't have, as I wish it had, a stronger statement about the killing of the unborn, but it was almost a statement that the reign of the promotion of infanticide is, at least at this point in our history, done. So there you go. There's my little spiel.
Well, and we're listening today to Pastor Bill Shisko from the Maven Church in Long Island, New York. And what's interesting, Bill, she was only 67. She was pretty young. Now, my recollection was her mother, the Senator Ann Richards, was a fairly conservative woman.
I believe so. It's been a while since she was there in office, but I think you're right. She's from Texas.
Yeah. I mean, Planned Parenthood has been, at least in the United States, has basically turned, their offices into abortion, baby-killing centers. In fact, there's a couple I drive by here in San Diego, and Bill, they have guards out front. They have armed guards because of the fact that they're doing terrible things inside there. And I'm just to think that we had a vice president who wanted to be president, who had no problem, Bill and Kelly, with taking the life of a newborn or a baby one day before they're born.
Just
unbelievable. And of course, our so-called Catholic Biden lifted all kinds of prohibitions for and funded abortions around the world. I mean, I had some friends that, were near Mexico, as you know, Bill, where Mexico really had a very strong anti-abortion position until Biden came in. And then this fellow was in the military, and he shared with me that you're not to object to the Mexican government lifting the abortion ban in Mexico. And the blood of these newborn, these little children made in the image of God, are on the hands of Kamala and Bill and Clinton, not just Clinton, but also Biden. You know, God's going to deal with that. There's just, we have in our church probably, I don't know, it must have been something in the water, Bill, but about 5 new babies. So there's a cry room. There's lots of strollers running around the lobby. and there's a lot of tired-looking parents, quite frankly. But
I always love to tell people they're a handful before they're a quiverful.
That's right. And they're just and it's not like we need to tell Kelly anything about families. She's got a whole group. Some are not. She's going through some little bit of some kids being sick, so she's
Like it's always happening with 4 boys. They're just dirty and getting sick left and right.
Yeah, but so. She runs a tight ship, I'll tell you. I can tell. her husband, you know, is an engineer in the fire department. Of course, has been dealing with things in L.A., but they're quite a family. But, you know, God's blessing. I look at – we have pictures, Bill, of the twins in Gail's office when they were – it was the photos from the sonograms.
Oh.
And here are these little babies, and there's twins, of course, and they were kind of fighting with each other, I think, in the womb, kicking each other some. But today I dropped off one of them at school. Gail drops the other one off at school. They go to the same school, but they want to go at different times. And, 5 minutes apart, but that's okay. At least I get to spend some time with my grandson.
You guys spoil them. I love it. That's what grandparents are for.
Yeah. And, but I just see how they've grown. They're so tall, you know, they're 13, 14 years old now. And just like, how many grandchildren, Bill, do you have now?
Well, we have 11.
Oh my gosh! See, we're way behind.
Yeah,
wow. Yeah, and
they're a blessing. I mean, I tell people
I'm way behind.
What's that?
Well, you're a little bit younger, Kelly. You got some years, but
so I have 0, Bill. So I'm way behind you guys.
Well, you're still 29, Kelly. You got a ways to go.
So Margaret must have her hands full keeping up with all the birthdays.
Hmm. She does. Oh yeah, she does. Between church birthdays and grandchildren and children birthdays and our calendar, it takes us, I'm not exaggerating, Steve and Kelly, it takes us 2 or 3 hours every year just to plug all those things in. We still do things by hand. And it's kind of sad because we have certain people that departed this life and in most cases went to glory. And last year we put them off. But anyway, but yeah, you're right. Keeps us busy. You know, back for just a moment, Steve and Kelly, and I should also say, You asked about reflections. I'm very thankful. When you have the invasion of of borders the way we had in the previous administration, which is absolutely unconscionable, if not treasonable, in my opinion. I know there's criticism that's beginning to come in today of what the president's doing and what is going to be done. Fact of the matter is we've got war in this country. And war is not a pleasant situation, but you have to anyway. So that was encouraging. But I think Steve and Kelly, for you both, I'm aware your audience is going to be largely a Christian audience, and I get that. It is very important that Christians not be embarrassed about being thankful to God for positions that are both positions and principles that are in accord with the Word of God, as I think we dealt with last time and maybe even more this time. We're not looking first at a person or at a party or at a platform. We're looking at positions and we're looking at principles that line up with what the Bible calls good in Romans 13. And those are good things. We may have differences about issues regarding tariffs and tariff wars and that kind of thing. That's not something. I mean, those are things where good and godly people will differ. On those issues, we shouldn't differ. The scriptures speak, and so should we.
So, Bill,
I couldn't agree more.
Talk to us a little bit about Romans 13:1 and the powers that be, and how does that apply to where we are today?
Oh, I'm so glad, Steve, you asked that. I've been fascinated with that for many years, because I, as you can tell, I enjoy politics. I don't bring it into the pulpit except when As I said, the scriptures clearly give positions and principles that we should espouse. I mean, another one that should be spoken to is debt. You know, the borrower becomes the lender's slave. But I've been kind of possessed of that issue for many, many years, because I do want to make a distinction between, I'll put it this way, politics and biblical principle. And I'm reading Romans 13, and I can't take the view, nor do I want to take the view, that the state is somehow secular, or as some put it, in the common sphere, because the minister or the magistrate, anyone in authority, is a minister of God to you for good. And that's the second thing. So you've got the sacredness of the office of the magistrate. And at some point, we can deal a little bit with this from the Protestant Reformation. But also, I would ask myself, how do you define good? And the scriptures tell us that the moral law, well, the law, the whole law of God is good. But the moral law is a standard for not only for conduct for believers, but for unbelievers as well. And it's a good thing. Anyway, so as I was wrestling with what the powers that be are, it really hit me, Steve and Kelly. The powers that be in our country are the Constitution and the Bill of Rights. That's and the evidence of that. President Trump, in his oath of office, and as with J.D. Vance, They put themselves under the Constitution. They swear to preserve, protect, and defend the Constitution of the United States. That's the power that is in this land. And I think it's imperative that whatever our political position is, we assess what is being done in light of what the Constitution says. That will transform, I think, everybody's way of thinking about the political situation out there. And then you question me, because this brings up the whole question then, and it gives light on the issue. When Christians say, well, should I be involved in politics? And now more Christians are going to want to be involved in politics, because we have an administration that in many ways is far more sympathetic to biblical positions. But Stephen Kelly, I've come to the view in this that Christians must be involved in the political process on whatever level, and that varies, but in our country for this reason. We have a constitutional republic, not a democracy. We dealt with this last time.
Right.
Democracy, majority rule, that's dangerous. Constitutional republic is a government that is of representatives elected by the people. And Abraham Lincoln's statement, government of, by, and for the people, that's not language of the Constitution, but it's true. Therefore, that means Christians are intimately connected with the powers that be in our land. We elect those people who are under the Constitution, and we need to work for those that we believe will best represent it.
We're listening today to the Reverend Bill Shisco, who is the pastor of the Maven Church and an outspoken thought leader in this country on biblical citizenship. You know, one of the things, Bill, that I found a little humorous at our church is, you know, there's quite a and you've probably seen this yourself, maybe even in your church, but there tends to be, prior to November 5th election, there tends to be a whole group of Christians who say, I don't want anything to do with politics. And I keep telling them, oh, I agree, except are you aware that it's really a spiritual warfare? Abortion, transgender surgery, the open borders, crime, that's not politics. That is a spiritual warfare of good and bad. And so as a Christian, we spend quite a bit of time in the pulpit talking about family and church, but we also have a responsibility to the government that controls the family and church to a large degree to make certain that they, as you said, get back to the Constitution. The older we get, the more, I'm impressed of of the wisdom of our founding fathers, a number of whom were Christians, in the design of the Constitution and the balancing of the various governmental positions that, you know, and we've seen it here in this country. I mean, it'd be terrible if we were just a majority rule democracy. It's a lynch. That's more like a lynching. And the reality is that the Supreme Court has brought some sanity into things. So when we have a president who wants to, you know, wipe out billions of dollars of student debt, the Supreme Court says, no, you really don't have that authority. And, you know, stop so much of that stuff. So it's a very, you know, the United States represents 4%, Bill, of the population of the earth. Not much, 4%. But we also generate 30 to 40% of the GDP. Now, why is that? And that's largely because of the Constitution, the Republic, and letting men, as Reagan would talk about, to utilize their freedoms, their innovation, their hard work, the understanding that they can be capitalists and gain from their hard work. They can also be compassionate and show love and compassion. Other, like, I mean, it's, you know, this country, you know, one of the things that you know, Trump is gonna is really kind of shocks us with as he peels back the onion and sees all the garbage. You know, the amount of money that we send to the Taliban. You know, I didn't realize we were sending money, Kelly, to the Taliban. I mean, these people are holding our folks hostage and killing and stifling women. And it's going to be, you know, all we've seen, Bill, is kind of things from the surface. And when, you know, when he really sends, it's like doing a fraud investigation, which I've done a lot. You know, you kind of see some smoke and you start peeling back the onion. And then the deeper you go, it's like, oh my gosh, what a mess. And, you know, Biden, people wonder why he pardoned his family on the way out the door. And I guess it went into effect while Trump was talking. But, well, he knew that there was a tremendous amount of illegal activities committed by him, his kids, his brother, and who knows who else. And he figured, well, this pardon thing, you know, is pretty effective. So we're going to do some preemptive pardons. But we're really in an era that I think over the next 6 to 12 months, we are going to be shocked, Bill, at the evil that is unveiled.
Yeah. Yeah, I think and exactly. With the pardons, I mean, clearly it's why do you pardon people if they're not guilty? I think at the same time, I was kind of thankful in a way, rather than President Trump and his attorney general, that I hope will be confirmed, going after those things. I've got other issues to deal with. But here's a caution that I want to give, Steve, to you and Kelly and your listeners. The founding fathers, and you're right, they weren't all professing, they weren't all genuine Christians, and I get that. But they lived out of Christian capital. There's no two ways about that. They all agreed you have to have virtue in a citizenry, I would say in the heart of citizens, if you are going to have the kind of government that we love with freedom and a constitutional republic. And my concern, and it's a deep one, is that we can be satisfied with a political victory, and I thank God for it, but we can be satisfied with that and stop praying and working for God's work in human hearts to give them hearts that love the law of God, that love the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and that love human life and so on. That, if I had a plea for your listeners, that would be it. Pray and pray and pray for that reviving work in God's people and for a converting work in the lost.
Well, yeah, absolutely. And Bill, I mean, if you even look at the Constitution of the United States and you get maybe one of those little pocket versions, I know mine has it on it.
Yeah.
It says the Constitution of the United States, its only keepers, the people, you know, and that was by George Washington. So when you look back at the, you know, foundation of our country, whether or not they were believers, I'll tell you what, they were believers in we the people. And they absolutely knew that the only way, it's not, you know, when you look at our government, sometimes we think of them as the ones ruling over us, but no, they are the servants to the people. And I think, restoring that. And like you said, getting people in there in office and praying for godly men and women to be those servants to the people is such a huge calling for us as Christians in order to maintain this constitutional republic. And so I couldn't agree more about that. But we as people, like you said, have to be involved. We have to start to get into government in order to have Christian people who are ruling.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. It's a holy calling. And Kelly, and this probably will be for a program down the line. See, I'm inviting myself for the future.
You're always welcome, Bill.
Always welcome.
We the people, that is pregnant with significance given our Protestant Reformation heritage. That grew out of what we call doctrinally the priesthood of the believer, and it was a statement that that while Christ is king, he works in all people, in all of his people, to do certain things in a culture. And so that little statement is so important. And and digging into its background is quite fascinating.
Bill, you mentioned something that kind of triggered my thoughts of watching the, I was pretty mesmerized by Monday morning, at least it was Monday morning out here. It's more like noon on the East Coast, but watching the inauguration and watching the, the quality of the people, and just the ethical upgrade that we're seeing. But at the same time, the Christians, while they can take a deep breath for a day or two, need to get back to work. And, keep reminding people that, yes, he won the popular vote, and yes, he clearly won the electoral vote, but he only won the popular vote by a couple of million. She won, over 70 million votes. And what's that tell you about this country? Mm-hmm. It tells you that there's still a tremendous number of people who believe that the kinds of ideology that she was embracing and advocating, and her people, that they're okay with that. In fact, I was having a conversation with somebody that is kind of associated with our accounting firm yesterday, and I mentioned how refreshing it was to see some of these things, and she pushed back. She said, "I thought it was kind of disgusting," and I stopped. And this was something that I didn't expect to hear from her, and it brought the reality that we still have a long ways to go. We're working out here, Bill, to and I'm trademarking the term "Turn California Red," and we actually have quite a program coming up on June 20th with Rachel Campos Duffy coming out for one of our big pack lunches. But in that process, we're going to be unveiling the formality of our strategy, our materials, our logo, and the point being that the Trump effect from his own persona, because I've seen him twice now, and he did lots of rallies, a lot of opportunities for the public to see him, which the Trump effect probably is the reason we won the popular vote, because he probably, a third of the population of the United States probably saw him in these rallies or talked to somebody who went to the rally. And the Trump effect is significant, but it's not going to be there in 4 years. And so my goal is to see the 52 electoral votes. In the state of California, as tough as that may sound, to go to, the Republican side. Now, the way that happens, and that those 52 votes would almost assure the continuation of the sanity of the Republican Party, assuming they don't stray from God's word and get stronger in this. But the key to doing that's about 2 million votes that have to be flipped, Kelly. We have 40 million people here, but there's a Democrat and Republican differential of 2 to 3 million. And so those need to be flipped. But you know where to find them, Bill? It's in the pews.
Yeah, exactly.
There are a lot of Christians who don't understand their role of biblical citizenship, that they have a responsibility. I will say this, at our church, the Sunday after the election, I had all kinds of people that kind of came up to me, knowing my, the activity with the PAC and whatnot, and people that, they were like high-fiving me. And now, we had some impact, but by no means was it, like Charlie Kirk or something like that. But the reality is that people came out of the woodwork going, wow, they're smiling. And so yes. My popularity at church has risen because there are a fair number of people that when I went to pray or talk some, they would grumble, and they would grumble to the pastor and stuff. And now it's, I'm your friend. And, it's kind of interesting. But the reality is there, and people like Jack Hibbs can help flip this, but the reality is we have to, whether it's New York or California, it wouldn't be something if you flipped New York. And New York and California.
Yeah, I mean, I think, given what's happened with the fires, and we've been praying for earnestly for God's mercy out there, but if people don't see, this is in many ways a consequence of an environmentalism that's a religion.
Yes.
And it's destructive of people. I mean, hopefully people are seeing that out there.
Well, Newsom turns the snow melt of Northern California out to the ocean instead of filling. Instead of filling the reservoirs and building dams and whatnot, and they're concerned about some little fish called the smelt. But most of the water, here we are in this very arid environment. And with his wisdom, he dumps most of the water, Kelly, in Northern California.
It's unbelievable. It's been happening for a long time too. So
and you've had to deal with fires in your own neighborhood this week. We've had some down here in San Diego.
Yeah, my parents were evacuated, and it was right above a hill, right behind their home. And so, but I just hope people, Bill, you kind of hit on it, that people are starting to really look into, what we were talking about before. What does your biblical citizenship look like? Actually research the Bible, what it says about getting involved in politics, and also how you behave towards those who are in power, quote unquote, because they are, designed by God in that position. But, when you're praying, pray for people who do care about humanity, about God's people. And we can clearly say now, and hopefully, I think a lot of people are awake to it, especially in LA. You're seeing a lot of very, very rich people have lost their homes, and this could have been prevented. So, when you start to really look into it, this is not new. We've always had the Santa Ana winds. You can look back at 1969. There was, in that same area, huge, huge fires. This was completely mishandled, and there needs to be accountability. And I hope people really do their research at this point and say, okay, what is most important? Is it the fact that, we're helping our environment maybe tiny, tiny, tiny bit, and yet we're losing all of our homes due to fires? Or is it better that, we do what's right for the people that live on this planet? And really take care of each and every one of us. So I'm hoping people are going to wake up.
So, Bill, would you want to be, Trump is coming out, I think, on Friday. We're taping on Wednesday. He's stopping in Western North Carolina, which is still, I was talking with Phil Buck, who's been on the show, that there's still a tremendous amount of damage. And as you go to kind of north of Asheville, up the 26 into Tennessee.
That's your old stuff.
Yeah. He basically said he didn't think that part of the world will ever come back. It's just so demolished. But he's going to stop there first, but then on to California. Now, I would really not want to be Governor Newsom when that guy shows up. I heard him speak in Anaheim a year and a half ago with my grandson. And that, you know what he talked about? He talked about the water. A year and a half ago, he said, you guys are just, it's nuts what you're doing out here. You got plenty of water, and you're dumping it in the ocean. And In fact, there was a whole issue about using ocean water to put out the fires because it contaminates the soil or something with all the salt. But you know, he is going to shake things up, and he's great at deal making and leverage. And you know what he's going to do? He says, "You want these federal funds? You're going to get your head screwed on straight. You're not going to take 10 years to rebuild this. You're going to take 10 months. You're going to get rid of the Coastal Commission, which is a bunch of environmentalists. And you're going to get people, and you're going to get your irrigation and your water, your hydrants, and your reservoirs filled." And, you know, he will, you know, he's very quick at analyzing. You know, as a businessman, he's really quick at analyzing things.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's putting apart the politics for a minute. I think the benefit of having a seasoned businessman who, frankly, is really, really intelligent and experienced in that position right now is a tremendous blessing. Rather than, if I mention a couple of things, I'm not sure how we're doing on time here.
Okay, a couple minutes.
A couple things you got to think as a pastor. You got me on as a pastor. We do need to pray that President Trump not overreach with his authority. I'm one of these that believes in an ideal world. It's kind of good if you have the House and the Senate, maybe by one party and the executive in another. One thing is, we're not in an ideal world, but and I'm thankful actually that he has that capacity. But let's be careful he doesn't overreach. The second thing is pray for judges and justices, because there's already these challenges to the constitutionality of various things that President Trump wants to do. Well, thank God we have a judiciary, and pray for judges that they judge righteous judgments with these things. I'll give you an example. This birthright citizenship issue that at least is in the news today, that's been a bugbear for decades.
Yeah.
What does that mean? And I think what President Trump is doing is calling the hand and saying, okay, let's let the Supreme Court tell us what it means. So this is very important in the prayers of God's people.
Mm, absolutely. And you hit on something, you know, the overreach, and that we need to start praying that, you know, let's not come in and look at this as if, okay, we saw Biden and his administration with a ton of overreach. You know, they did a lot of unconstitutional things. We don't come back and reverse that, you know, by being unconstitutional ourselves. And I agree. I think that we need to be praying that there is no overreach, that it is done in a godly, you know, constitutional manner, and that we're able to correct the narrative, not just correct what's happened, but correct the narrative of it going forward.
Amen.
Well, we need to, President Trump is the only president that ever attended the pro-life march in Washington. Mm-hmm. Others talked about it. They never showed up. He did show up. But we need to pray for his health, his safety. I don't know how somebody at that age, at any age, can do what that guy does. You know, Bill, you and I are pretty active folks, but I couldn't hold a candle to that pace. But
no.
You guys, I'm 41 and I couldn't do it. I was watching him all day and telling my kids, that guy has been, you know, probably 3 a.m. to 3 a.m.
Mm.
Just in the public light, I couldn't do it at 41. He's 78. He's a monster.
So, Bill, we are adding you to the regular monthly list here.
Let's go.
And I'll negotiate with you sometimes to come back. But I'd like you to talk about next time. I'm sitting here in La Jolla with this beautiful view of some of the mountains in the UTC area. And off to my left is the Miramar Air Force Base, where they shot Top Gun and did Top Gun training. And I've been watching the F-35s take off. So, you know, I'd like you to think about how do we deal with our military superiority and need to protect our country. We sent 1,500 more troops to the border this month. But I'd like you to kind of talk about a biblical view of defending your country from a military standpoint, from a scripture standpoint.
Yeah.
And,
and even a biblical view of war. I mean, it's a little bit far afield what you want to do, and it's been hotly debated, but the other is a little bit more sure. I'd be glad to do it. One other little thing, again, I'm not sure on time. You mentioned the pews, Steve, and I agree with you completely. There's two other factors. One, we need to pray for pastors that they will have biblical boldness to say what the Word of God says. Biblical boldness is saying what the Word of God says in the way you need to say it and at the time you need to say it. Yes. We need to pray for pastors that they'll have more fear of God than man. Mm-hmm. The other is, this fits with your work, what is it, seminary ministry, I think, teaching people worldview. Christians have to learn to bring every thought captive to the obedience of Christ, and that includes things like defending borders and debt and so on. So there's some other grist for the.
Well, we've got a lot of topics to cover over this 2025. You've been listening today to the Reverend Bill Shisco from Long Island, New York, who has a phenomenal church called the Maven. And so
the Haven.
The Haven, excuse me. Sorry about that. The Haven. And you can find it online. But thank you, Bill, for coming and helping us.
Always appreciate you.
Have another good show here. Thank you.
Thank you both.
That concludes another powerful episode of Biblical Citizenship Alive, brought to you by Save America Now PAC. We thank you for joining us today as we tackled the crucial issues facing our beloved nation. Remember, we stand united for a pro-American, pro-family future deeply rooted in our foundational truths. The insightful discussions and passionate advocacy you've heard here today are just the beginning of our journey to reclaim our cultural integrity. Stay informed, stay engaged, and join us next week as we continue to shape a better tomorrow. Together, we can make a difference. Until next time, let's keep standing strong for what matters most.
Are you looking for a local, top-tier accounting and consulting firm? Look no further than Swenson Advisors. Since 1998, Swenson Advisors has been delivering personalized, customer-focused services with the expertise of a national firm. Our clients, from middle-market public and private companies to high-net-worth individuals, trust us for our responsive, ethical, and innovative approach. Whether you're in technology, real estate, manufacturing, or the nonprofit sector, Swenson Advisors has you covered. Specializing in lease accounting, audit and assurance, tax services, and consulting, Swenson Advisors delivers tailored solutions for your financial success. We're not just another accounting firm. We're your strategic ally, dedicated to innovative solutions and impeccable service. Ranked among the top 25 accounting firms by the San Diego Business Journal and recognized for our integrity and responsiveness. Join the countless clients who trust Swenson Advisors for their accounting needs. Visit us at swensonadvisors.com today or call us at 619-237-3400. Swenson Advisors, expertise you can trust, solutions you can count on.
The holidays are just in the rearview mirror, but it's time to think ahead. Unlock seamless security and efficiency in 2025 with Honeywell Forge Performance Plus for buildings visitor and contractor management software. Trade paper logs and outdated systems for instant check-ins, secure ID verification, and customizable access control that keep you in the driver's seat. With real-time data, you'll always know who's on your property and when, improving both safety and operational efficiency. From tracking visitors to managing contractor access, our intuitive platform makes handling entry simple, secure, and stress-free. Plus, it easily integrates into your existing infrastructure for a seamless transition. Protect your premises and your people today. Ready to upgrade your visitor and contractor management system? Visit sign.co. That's sine.co to learn more, speak with a sales rep, or book a demo today.